Charlene and Bob Steinkamp, the founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, are pleased to bring you the following message. To find out more about other materials available from Rejoice Marriage Ministries, or if we can minister to you in any other way, please contact us. You can write Rejoice Marriage Ministries, P.O. Box 10548, Pompano Beach, Florida 33061. Please visit our website at www.rejoiceministries.org. Our hope is that through Charlene's message, you will receive the encouragement from the Lord, and with His strength and power, your marriage can be all that your Heavenly Father planned it to be.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Rejoice Pompano Beach Bible Study. You will not believe how many visitors we have here tonight. And so we're just thrilled, because God uses our daily devotionals around the world, and we give Him all the glory, we give Him all the praise and honor. Lord, we just come to You, humbly bow before You, and we just praise Your holy name, and we just thank You for all these standards that are coming in, and we just give You all the honor and praise that people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they are coming to seek Your face, seek You as a teacher, seek the Word to know how they are to stand and fight for their marriage. And Lord, may we understand that this is not for just a season. This is an assignment from our Lord God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has said you need to pray and become a prayer warrior and an intercessor for the rest of your life. And we're going to be used mightily. For so many different seasons in their life, for so many different people that we're going to be privileged to pray for. Lord, we must become serious about the honor and the assignment that our Lord has given us. And we just ask You tonight to anoint me and touch me, and may I speak only the words You would bring forth through me. I pray that if I'm not supposed to teach from the papers, that it'll be all from You. But Lord, we are asking You to anoint me and touch me, and may my voice be solid, as I had fun screaming with my children this weekend. And we just ask that You would just now let it be healed, and we just ask that I can scream for the Lord now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I am so excited. Now, this is the first step. Every day you need to turn on some music, and we need to praise the Lord. It says praise defeats the enemy.
Save us.
I'm so glad you came.
great to the sky. From the grave to the sky,
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I give you the glory, Father. I lift your name
on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Forever and ever. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You can sit. I'm nice. She makes you stand. I'm Lori. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bob and Charlene's middle and favorite child. An only girl. My grandpa used to always say, "You're our favorite granddaughter." And I was like, "I'm your only granddaughter." But anyhow, it's nice to have all of you. I just wanted to do a few announcements. You guys probably have seen these yellow note cards on your spot when you came in. Hopefully you all have one. And this is just a prayer sheet. If you have a prayer request that we can pray for you, you can put it on here. If you have something personal, just write that it's private on there. We don't put it on the website or anything, but we do put it on our prayer sheet that we have here on Monday nights so that we can pray for you. So even if you've come out of state, we'll put you on the prayer list and we'll be keeping you in prayer for the next few months. Well, it's nice to have all of you. If you need a Bible or paper or anything, you can wave at one of us and we'll be happy to help you. But if you stand again, we're going to sing another song.
Thank you. my darkness lay, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he
is so awesome. I just praise his name. I've got a few minutes, and so I'm going to open up the podium to have special praise reports. If there's anybody that would love to share and praise his holy name for what he's doing in your life or what he's done in your life, then we need to praise him because God tells us to do that. So if anybody wants to just come up, just two or three, four people come up and stand right here. We never not want to praise the Lord.
Thank you, Charlene. I apologize for not being here lately. I've been kind of angry as of late. I've been looking a lot at the difference between my wife and I, and I'm thinking there is no way this reconciliation is going to happen. But I have a little testimony that happened a couple of weeks ago I'd like to say. I had to go home to California for a court hearing, nothing to do with divorce. A fast trip. I arranged for my mother-in-law to pick me up. She lives close to the court, and I offered to take her out to lunch in exchange for a ride. My wife doesn't speak to her mother. She is angry at her because she believes in my stand. So my wife cut off communication with her mother, who has been a believing Christian for about 30 years. Instead, my wife began a relationship with her father, who she hasn't talked to for those 30 years. I was puzzled at the change until I heard the principle concerning rebels and rebellion. It says, the common denominator of rebels is their guilt. I understand that my wife's adulterous actions were the same generational sin that her father had done 30 years earlier. She was now guilty of the same thing her father had done, and there was now the ability to fellowship. She cut off her righteous mother to run with her guilty father. Well, anyway, I finished the court and arranged to have dinner with my son, and I retired early to a hotel near the airport because I had a very early flight the next morning. The next morning, the hotel shuttle brought me to the airport and dropped me off, As I got out of the shuttle, I realized this was the exact spot I used to drop my wife off early in the morning when she went to work. She's a flight attendant, and I usually dropped her off for convenience. As I started to walk in the building, I remembered that just to the left, as you walked in, were the chairs she used to sit in and call her boyfriend early in the morning. I recalled that I had discovered the phone records that revealed her relationship. As I entered the terminal, I instinctively looked to the left towards the chairs, and there sat my wife, talking to another flight attendant. I think we were both surprised. She said, "Of course you'd be on this flight," meaning she knew I was in town and would be leaving again. She motioned for me to sit down, but I said I needed to hurry to get through security. As I look back now, I can see the healing God had brought in my life revealed in just that exchange. I was able to say, "I've got work to do," instead of a shooting, crippling pain. Airport security did take a while, and when I reached the gate, I could just see my wife and the crew boarding the aircraft. A friend in the lobby spotting me had seen my wife and said, "You two back together?" And I said, "Not yet." I was impressed to call my friends at Covenant Keepers in North Carolina, knowing that with the time change, they would already be at work. They listened with excitement, but asked one thing of me. They said, "When you get on board and sit in your seat, pray and ask God, what are you trying to show me?" And I agreed. As I boarded the aircraft, I stood behind a man who had a t-shirt on and rolled up sets of blueprints under his arm. His t-shirt was imprinted, "J. Jira, General Engineering Contractor," and the little Christian fish symbol. I saw the blueprints under his arm and I remarked, "Are those the blueprints for the foundations of the world?" He turned and said, "Very good. Few people pick up on the name." As I stepped on the aircraft, there stood my wife in the first class galley greeting passengers. She said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Back in 21E, the center seat," and I moved along with the crowd to the back. A funny feeling to hear your spouse's voice over the PA system. She made all of the standard flight attendant announcements, seat belts, emergency exit, etc., but it was my wife's voice. Having not talked to her for many, many months, it sounded strange. It was her that said to me, "I hope one day to never hear your voice again." But upon hearing her voice, I never wanted the announcements to stop. "Tell me more about seatbelts," I thought. I got busy reading and forgot my promise to pray. Eventually, the man in the window needed to move so he could use the restroom. I stood up to let him out and noticed right behind me was Mr. J. Jira and his wife. We began talking, with me leaning over to speak to them. The subject turned from vacation and work to marriage. Imagine that. They explained they had a restored marriage after he had returned with her standing. He explained he always wanted to go home, but because of guilt, he couldn't. She began to cry, and then him, and then me. I related my story, and they asked, "Where was my wife?" And I said, "You really want to know? She's the flight attendant in first class." They said, "You mean the one who's been watching us through the curtain?" At that point, I looked around, and half the airplane had been watching me preach about marriage restoration, as I was the only one standing up. I was a little embarrassed, so I sat back down quickly. It was then I remembered my promise to pray. So I said, "God, what are you trying to show me?" Immediately, the voice came back clear. "I'm trying to show you that I can do anything." I sat still and cried, knowing that for weeks I had believed there was too much difference between my wife and I for reconciliation. God had orchestrated the whole thing to bring me to one word of healing. As the flight pulled into its destination, I shuffled forward to the exit door. My wife stepped back a step into the galley when I approached, and I leaned in and whispered in her ear, "I will love you forever." And I turned and walked out. I hustled down the corridor to get a train to my gate in another terminal. Just as I boarded the train, I got a text. It was her asking, "You still out there?" I texted, "Why?" And she texted back, "I wanted to talk to you." Wow, that's funny. For someone who never wanted to hear my voice again. Thank you, Charlene, for letting me share my testimony tonight.
Sanders, I want to just encourage you tonight, because like John said, where he has gotten angry at his wife and gotten discouraged with his stand, that can happen. We hear from people every day that email us and contact us via phone, and they tell us that they just can't go on, and they're so discouraged and they're so distraught, and they feel like they can't do another day. But many times we get so busy looking at what is coming ahead that we don't look at what is right in front of us. Today I was at the grocery store and I had to pick up two items. So I found the first item quickly, and it was a different store than I'm normally in, so I wasn't particularly sure where to find the second item. I walked the store three times looking for this item and could not find it. I finally asked somebody where it was, and she directed me right back to where the first item was. They were literally side by side. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, this is an illustration my dad would have used. But sometimes we're so busy looking for things that are away from us and down the pike that we don't notice what's right in front of us, like I did at the store. I missed what was right in front of me. I was so concerned that I have to get these two things and get out of the store that I didn't even notice it was right there. What has God done in your life since your stand began? What has God done in your family since your stand began? What has God done in your marriage since this all happened? Many people come and tell us that they've been saved, or family members have found the Lord through this, or that they really recommitted their life to the Lord. And instead of looking at what you don't have or what is not happening, focus right now on what you do have, on what you do see happening. If you have trouble doing that, then get a journal and write down in the journal things that you see God do, even small things, so that you can focus on them. The days that Satan is attacking you and getting you discouraged, you can look at the things that God has done in your life through your stand. Your stand right now for your marriage restoration is a testimony to everybody around you. It's a testimony to your in-laws. It's a testimony to your children. It's a testimony to those at church. You are living out Christ's love right now by what you're doing. And half of your friends might think you're crazy, and half of your relatives might wonder why you want your husband or wife back, but we know that God changes people and restores people, and that's the person that you want back, a person that's been touched by the Lord, and you are praying and standing for that very thing. So don't get discouraged that you don't have a restoration or you don't have your spouse in your home, but let God show you all the amazing things that he's doing in you and through you because of this journey, and enjoy the journey because he's going to bless you even in the midst of the trials.
My name's Denise, and for people that don't know me, I came here about 8 months ago to thank God for you. You've helped me. I left my husband 3 years ago, and I am a prodigal. And then God does talk to you, because I could not stop hearing God telling me, go back to your husband. Go back to your husband. I didn't leave him for anyone. I just left him because we couldn't communicate anymore. And I thought, I just can't stand the fighting. I've got to go. And my family is dead. I had my parents die in my arms. I've had 17 people die in 11 years. And I only have my brother left, and he's in Europe. So I actually had no one here. So I had no one to really run to diffuse, and like you run home to your mom or whatever to just get your head together. I had to actually go get an apartment, lease an apartment for a year. And then during that time, I tried to go out with someone else that was a disaster. And the crazy thing was, God, I said, what am I supposed to do? And I kept hearing God say, go to your husband. And I'm like, and he was with someone else because he waited for me, you know. And then the craziest thing was, I started to try to go back with him, and I didn't have my wedding ring. I couldn't find it. And I said, if I'm supposed to be with him, I'll find it. Within 35 seconds, I found my wedding ring. Okay, there were so many things. Like, I walk on a trail, and I do little tests to God, which I apologize to God because I'm not you are so the almighty powerful and in charge. And I'll say, if I'm on the walking on this path today, and if I see an iguana, I'm supposed to be with my husband. I'm like so ridiculous. And I saw 10 of them, and I'm like, okay, on the way to my friend's house, if I'm supposed to be with my husband, see a truck like his. I saw like 60 of them on the way to my friend's house. It was crazy. So every day I drive the Lord crazy, which when I know when I go to heaven, he's going to say, I love you, but man, you drove me crazy sometimes. And so I'll ask for signs, and then my girlfriend said back off a little bit, because I became I really want you, I really love you. And she said, just back off, he's a little afraid of you. And he's got a girlfriend that's in New York that he sees once in a blue moon, which isn't really, really girlfriend. Anyway, so the long short of it was, I kept working him. Every time we had two dogs that we had together, so whenever he would bring, I had one dog, he had one dog. And when he got out of town, I'd take the other one. I went out of town, he'd take the other one. So we'd see each other occasionally. Well, he came to me one time and I said, why do you leave so quickly? He said, because I'm afraid something's going to happen romantically. And I thought, oh, well, please don't leave then, you know, because you're my husband. But he just, that was a sign to me that I shouldn't give up on him, because he felt for me, but he wasn't trying to tell me. So like Charlene said, to go through the Bible, I went through the Bible one day and flipped the page open, and it said, and he kept telling me, we're great friends, I love that, I love that. And it was aggravating me, because I don't want to just be his friend, you know, I want to be his wife. And I flipped to the Bible, of course, and God always gives you the right verses at the right time, and it said to me, you have to be friends before you can have a good marriage. And it was amazing. And then I flipped the next page, and it said he didn't like adultery. And I said, I prayed for both of them to be saved, for the relationship to stop, to come back to me. And then also flipped again, and it said, if you trust me, you'll do something bold. So my bold move is to move where he is. He lives in Fort Myers. And then the next step was, God, if I'm supposed to go, I'll be able to get a job. So I went to my job and said, I think I want to go to Fort Myers. The first thing out of my boss's mouth was, I'll transfer you there.
Oh, my word.
In 5 minutes, I had a job. Girlfriend prayed hard about it. And I went to Fort Myers, because it took me 5 months to get the apartment I'm in now. And I said, oh, God, if I'm supposed to be here, I'll get an apartment. The first day I got there, I got an apartment. And I got it for the price I wanted, within the 5 minutes from my work, 10 minutes from his. I'll be dropping off cookies and things, you know, just. And then the crazy thing was, it's like 20 minutes from his place. And I said, I was scared, because I thought he would be upset at me. So I said, Lord God, please. One of the last things is if he's okay with this. So I called him and told him, because my girlfriend said, this is about you. Don't bombard him. And I called him. He said, congratulations. I think it's great that you're coming out here. Wow. And then on Easter came, and I said, pray for an Easter miracle. If this is me with my little things again, if I'm supposed to be doing this, then please give me a really good sign. I can't find any of my wedding pictures. I got rid of them when we first broke up, or a little bit later than that, because they were hurtful to me. And I'm at my friend's house for Easter yesterday, and we were talking. I said, do you think it's the right thing? She said, yeah, you know. She's like, how many more signs do you need? We went by his house, and everything in his house is still you, and things you bought him are still there, you know. So, and I said, and then she turns, and she goes, Denise, you're not going to believe this. And she looks to the right, and she had this bowl, and she pulls out my wedding picture.
Mm.
And she said, I don't know where this came from. I haven't seen this in 12 years since you got married. She said, this is what you're supposed to be doing, and you will be back with your husband, and just trust in God. And then walking today, I said, if I'm supposed to be with my husband, I'm going to see some turtles. I saw 5 turtles today, so look for those signs, and don't give up, all right? Thank you.
This is a sign, girl. God's going to say, no more signs. I've spoken to you.
Hello.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Leslie. I haven't been in 2 months.
We missed you.
And I said, I'm not going back there. Forget it.
John is your sister. I got a few others around here that have said that too. I'm just.
I was like, forget that. You know, I don't want my marriage. You know, I left my husband 4 years ago. I left. He didn't leave me. And I haven't heard from him in like 2 weeks. And then yesterday with Easter, he called me and he bought a little scooter. And he said, let's go riding. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere with you. Are you crazy? And so he stood there and he begged me, come on. And I was like, my family's going to think I'm crazy. Because everybody, don't talk to him. Don't go anywhere with him. He might do something to you. And I was like, okay. So we got on the scooter. And he said, let's go back to my house. And I was like, just me and you? I was like, no way. So he just called me a few minutes ago. And I'm a prankster. I said, I'm on a date. And then I retext him again.
She's giving me heart failure.
When I text him again, I text him again and said, April Fool's Day, because it's April Fool's Day. So I was like, knowing my husband, he takes everything I say seriously. You probably was on a date, you know. But I wasn't going to come today, because I was like, you know, I'm just not going to do that. And I got an email saying, Rejoice Bible Study. I got it yesterday, but today I just checked my email like 2 or 3 hours ago, and it would say, hi, we missed you. And I was like, oh, no, I got to go. Now I got to go. So I was outside on the phone, and God just told me, just shut your mouth, get off the phone. And that's when John was up. And I'm glad I didn't miss his testimony, because God told me the same thing. It's nothing too hard for him. Because my husband is like really, like things happen in his childhood. And I know he loves me, but he has anger issues. And that's why I left, because I don't like the arguing and bickering and the things. So I'm glad that I heard John's testimony. Because actually, you know, I do, but I didn't. I do and I didn't want to be with my husband. One side of me does, and the other side doesn't. You know, I'm not totally, like, standing. I'm like, well, if God does, he doesn't. If he doesn't, I don't care, you know. And I'm not dating. I've been on, like, 2 dates, like, 2 years ago. It wasn't really a date. It was a friend, and they tried to turn it to a date, and I was like, no way. Because I was raised up in the church, and my background don't believe in second marriages.
Right.
And my mom was like, that's your husband. You know, I don't care what happened. He's your husband. And I went to my mom's house today, and my mom has a picture of me and my husband and my 3 boys. And every time I go, I turn the picture around. When I come back, my mom, she turns it back around again.
Good mama.
And then today I was just sitting there, and I started looking at, you know, my family. And I got convicted, because I was like, Lord, you know, I was raised up in a home, you know, both parents, you know, my husband divorced me. He went and got divorce papers, and we got in the courtroom at the last minute. The divorce papers were in the court system for a whole year. At the last minute, the day of the divorce, he comes to me and says, well, I changed my mind, I want a divorce. And I was like, no way, we're going through with this. I'm going to teach you a lesson. So I signed divorce papers being stubborn. I was hurt. You know, it's like, no one makes a fool out of me. I'm going to show you just how big and tough I am. You know, I regret that I did that. You know, and the judge, when I got in the courtroom, the judge asked me, he said, you sure you want to do this? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. Signed, delivered. So he said, okay, you go out and think about it. I'm going to give you 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, what do I have to say to get divorced, you know? So the judge was like, I'm going to give you some more minutes to go out and think about it. So I said, okay. And when I sat the courtroom, I turned right back around. He was like, you think about it? I said, yeah, I want my divorce. So since then, my husband had a massive heart attack. And he died and came back. And at first, you know, I'm going to be truthful. At first, I was like, oh, my God, why you just didn't take him? You know, I'd have been free to get married again and start all over again. And then, you know, because he hurt me, you know, I wished he would have died when the heart attack happened. That was, you know, truthful, because he hurt me so bad. I was disappointed that he came back, you know. I was like, he got 9 lives? Oh, my God, you know. And then, so, you know, it sounds mean, you know, but when someone's hurt you, it doesn't fly overnight. You know, you don't forgive the person overnight. It's been 4 years, you know. And just now I'm learning to let things go. And then he calls me, and I keep bringing things up from the past. You did this. You did that. You did this. And the other day he said, when are you going to stop? I said, stop what? Stop doing that. Stop doing what? Stop going back in the past. It's done. It's over. So I'm asking you guys just to pray for me because he calls me all the time, and he wants to go out, and he wants to do things with me, but it's me.
It's you now.
It's me now.
Okay, so what's your husband's first name?
Mose, like Moses.
Mo, like Moses. I like that. Let's pray right now, guys. Lord, we just thank you. What's your first name now? I just forgot it. Leslie and Mo. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for Leslie coming up. We just thank you for her boldness. And Lord, we know that there are many other prodigals that are in this room that have been the ones, not necessarily prodigals, that they had committed adultery, but they have just had enough with their marriage. Or they didn't like what was going on in their marriage, and they didn't see a way out, so they walked out. We have so many of them. But Lord, that anger and unforgiveness and the bitterness and hatred can destroy us. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch Leslie now and heal her wounded heart. Lord, all that Moses has done, he's probably repented and cried out and wished he could just never have done it to hurt her, to cause all of this. And Lord, you've been in the midst of all of this all along, and we thank you for moms that pray and know the truth, and the truth's going to help you see the truth. But Lord, I pray that you would touch Moses tonight, and I pray you would touch him like never before, that he will keep touching and keep reaching out to get Leslie. But Lord, I pray you would reach out and touch Leslie and every person in this room that is hiding anger or unforgiveness or bitterness that is going on in their hearts, that they keep saying, I can't do it, and they stuff it down, and they're just going to explode again. And Lord, we know that we can repent, and you can change us. And we ask that you would touch Leslie and every other person that's listening on the internet or the ones that are in this room. And we ask that you would just today, we're going to lay all our anger, our bitterness, our hatred, our unforgiveness of all what they have done in our marriages and lay it at the foot of the cross. And we're going to say, Lord, we give it to you. And we're going to leave it there, and we're going to ask you to help us forgive and forget each and every day. Because Lord says in the Bible that we need to forgive 70 times 7 each and every day, over and over and over again. And Lord, I know Leslie needs to forgive, and she needs to say, Lord, will you change Mo to be the man and husband I need? And will you be the father to the children? And those children need a mom and dad together. And Lord, we know that in this room there are all these families that are represented that need their moms and dads back together again. But Lord, we ask that every one of these people that are in this room and are listening on the internet, that if you have been part of the cause of the divorce, I pray that you would repent right now. I pray today will be the day after Easter, that we are going to have transformations of the body, souls, and spirits of these standers, because they know, they know that what they should do, but they don't want to do what they need to do. And we need to apply the word of God to Leslie and to Mo and to all of the Michelles and all of the other ones that say, it hurts too much, I can't do it. No, we can do it. Because Jesus says, I died on the cross for your sin and your husband's sin and your spouse and wife's sin and your children's sins, and it's enough. Nothing is too hard for me to do. So, Lord, we're having a new beginning in this room tonight because we're repenting and we're saying, Lord, change me. Change me. Forgive me. And, Lord, love is patient. Love is kind. And it says it keeps no record of wrongs. So, Lord, I pray that on all of these people who are listening, who have kept the record of wrongs of all what their spouse has done, or husband or wife has done or their child has done. Tonight, will you push that delete button and let it go on to the trash and empty your trash and all your computer, that you are not going to bring up the past, and that when you start talking to them, you're not going to say, but you did this or you caused this. No, you're going forward. We're forgetting the past. And we're just going to go forward. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for these testimonies that have stirred our hearts and given us hope and encouragement. And that we are seeing how the enemy causing so much confusion. I'm not even wanting to come back in this room to hear the truth. Not wanting to know that this is what I need to do. But Lord, you are greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we're not going to have the enemy come against our marriages anymore. No more. No more. Jesus paid the price. And we just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do tonight and in the next week and the next week. And praise the Lord for Mo to call up and go see his wife yesterday. Praise the Lord that John's wife wanted to talk. Lord, we pray that she'll text John again. And that time, he will forget the past, and he will think of the future, and he will have his family and start talking about today and tomorrow, not about the past. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do. And so many marriages in this room and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Remind me a little of my wife. She's angry and bitter. Some of the things that I did, some of the things that her family did, life in general and so on. And I know that because you are like her and I might have been like, there might be a moment right here where I can say, I can act like Moses. I can be like your husband. And maybe in this moment, you can transfer all of that to me. And I don't mind.
Amen.
Because God says, do for others what you want done. So will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? You sure? Let it go.
And this is what forgiveness is all about. Jesus is coming to her and saying, forgive me. And you have somebody that you haven't forgiven. And if there is somebody, forgive him tonight. Forgive your husband. Forgive your mother, your father, who failed. And forgive him tonight. Because Satan is trying to cause all this anger and hatred and unforgiveness. And he's causing it to have us destroy our marriages and life. And we're just saying, she's been wounded, but her husband didn't know how much he was wounding her. John hurt his wife, and he sees the wall. You've seen the wall of what you all have done and what your husband and vice versa. And the kids are hurting the same way she's hurting. And they're rebelling. And we've got the kids on crack. And we've got them slicing themselves, cutting themselves. They're doing everything. We've got to stand up and fight the fight. And we need to come. We need to pray. We need the devotionals. And we need to be in a unity of an army coming against the enemy. We need to stand up and say, no more. No more coming against my enemy and hearing the truth and opening their spirits, ears, and eyes to see this. We need to have this set free. If there's other women, I want you to know right now, John, if there's another woman that needs to have John say that to you, let's just start a line right up here, and John's going to do it. We're going to have healing tonight. We're going to have healing tonight. Because Jesus is the healer. And how many of you have had that anger and bitterness? So if you want to go over and let John talk to you, and Beverly, you can go over there and pray with them, over them while they're doing it. And Beatrice, go over there. Eddie, I want you over there praying for the people that go over there. I want us to pray that the men and women, you know what? You may be a husband that's been wounded by your wife like John. And we need to just say, let's go and let's get healed. If we need to get healing tonight that we can stand strong, then you know what? We've all been abused. My husband was abusive. He was very abusive with anger and bitterness. And we need to understand, I know how you get hurt and wounded, and you don't care. That's why I divorced Bob. You've read my story. And I got so angry in that one day on Mother's Day, if I could have gotten the car to the car of his car, I probably would have killed them. But you know what? We've got to say, wrong is wrong. And God hit me. He said, where are you? What are you doing? So if there's anybody else that wants to go over there, Lori will be there. The guys, yes, positively. That's what I'm saying. Men, go over there. So while we're going to sing a song, while we're over here ministering, I want you all, anybody feel led, to go over there, and we will pray and we'll get healing, okay? Let's everybody else stand up and worship the King of Kings.
Sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days because he lives.
Because he lives, I can face
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to start teaching while they're talking and finishing up over there. And we've had so many hearts and lives touched and transformed. And I'm trying to figure out where to go, but I think I'm just going to teach for about 10 or 15, 12 minutes, and then we'll go into our prayer circle. God has been here tonight. The Lord has been here. And we just give him the praise and the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for every single person that you have brought into this room tonight. And we thank you for all the men and women who have been touched and have had the Holy Spirit speak to them, because there are what Leslie spoke and what John spoke is what we have all felt. And what Leslie felt, as we had another woman on the side of the wall over here, when Bob was being abusive or unfaithful, you do get to the point that you hate them and wish they'd die. And you're with your feelings and emotions, the thoughts of the enemy puts in your mind. But you have to take control of your thoughts and mind and say, is this Jesus talking? Or if this is the enemy talking? Lord, speak to us. Remind us what your voice sounds like, that we will recognize that it's the enemy speaking negative thoughts to us. And instead, we need to speak love and hope and forgiveness to our spouses. And Lord, I just pray that you will just move the mountains of circumstances, of opening everybody's heart and lives tonight, that they can see that how that we had men and women here saying, I was the prodigal, I was the one that left because of blank, blank, blank. And it doesn't always have to be because of adultery. So, Lord, I pray that all the people that are at a home or have left because of their spouse has been unfaithful or they've been abusive, may you learn the word that we can forgive them over and over and over again. And while you're forgiving them and changing you yourself and get a healing from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, will you touch in that man or woman who is not being the Christian they need to be? Now, or they may not even be saved, but may you go give them their personal own Damascus Road experience. And then they would come back and they will reunite and have their marriage restored with their children, because God created marriage and he says, I hate divorce. If he hates it, we shouldn't be doing it. So, Lord, I pray that you will touch all of these people that are listening and the ones that are here. May we all say, Lord, forgive me of holding grudges. Forgive me for thinking the thoughts that are from the enemy himself. And may you touch and change me and give me the good thoughts. Give me the thoughts that you want me to pray and how to pray, or pray scriptures with my spouse's name in them. Lord, I just pray that this will be a time of many hearts and lives change from this day on forever, and the marriages are going to be restored because of it. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew first to go into it. And it's in Matthew 18. And it's in Matthew 18, verse 21. Well, I'm just going to start a little bit earlier and work into it. And it's Matthew 18, 18. I says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or husband or wife or cousin or mom or dad when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, I always start at 20, stop at 22. Because I think we're short time, so I don't go through this whole story, but we're going to go through the parable tonight. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as because Jesus is telling Peter this parable for a reason. This was his answer. He continued on talking to Peter. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything." And the servant master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which was little. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. "And pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me. I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant or husband or wife as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him on over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or spouse or loved one from your heart." The Lord wants us to forgive. He wants us to forgive. He doesn't say it's right what they're doing. He's not saying that. He's saying, "I want you to forgive them." Because the root of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness can destroy us. It can destroy me. I know, because I let it rile up. I ended up filing for divorce because of righteous anger and bitterness. And it was wrong. I listened to everybody else except God. And you know what? God does speak to us many different ways. And he's speaking to you, telling you to come back and not go, and you don't want to come back. And you know what? Because he wants you to hear the truth. And the truth will set you free. There's a reason he wants you to come back. But there's a reason that God brought you in this room to begin with anyway. Because he was giving you a message that I want to restore your marriage for you. But I want you to change first, and then I'm going to change and work on your spouse. And that's the awesome part. Now, Luke 13. You know, I don't know if we often know what love really is until we, because we certainly don't apply it all often in our marriages, but we need to know what love is. And this is a scripture for the new people that are here, is that I put Bob and I are patient, Bob and I are kind, and I would pray it every day. But let me tell you this. It says here in verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to start with verse 1. "If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I am nothing. I gain nothing." What he's saying to you is love is most important. Okay, we need to put love before faith, before all these other things. So love is patient. I pray that Bob and Charlene are patient. Bob and Charlene are kind. But love is patient. Love is kind. This is what God wants you to be. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. But do you have a right to be angry and rude for all what your spouse has done? Now, the Lord is saying, give them to me. Lay them at the altar. Lay your spouse there every day and forgive them every night. You know, that's what I've always said. Forgive them every night. Say that Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer says, forgive them. Forgive me of my debtors and forgive me of those who trespass against me. And we need to forgive them every day. Say the Lord's Prayer. Whatever you need to do, we need to apply it to our daily life. But it was not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. And there is the secret. Because the enemy has pushed our buttons that now we, like I, when I was standing, I got the enemy pushed the button of seeing my husband with the other woman. And it was right after I just started standing and I hadn't really applied and gotten strong in the Lord. And man, I took the car and was headed for to be a gun for what I felt I needed to do to them. And you might have done it too if you had the wherewithal, but God stops us. But we need to understand that we do not get easily angered. We need to bite the tongue and say, Lord, tell me what I should say and do. Lord, help me. Because we could do a whole series on the tongue and the fire that the enemy can use with using our tongue and saying the words that we say to our spouses in anger, or what your spouse has said to you in anger, and you can barely erase it. You can, the devil will play rewind on it so you can keep it going in your mind. And he wants you to put it down. Put down and forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. And then you say, Lord, change me. So we do not keep no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere, because love never fails. And who is love? God is love. Greater God sent his only Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So that's God's love, and he wants us to love everyone just like he loves them. And he can help us, and he will empower you to do it. And then verse 13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. You know, we've had a totally different night tonight. You've all never had a night like tonight. This was a prayed up meeting of saying, Lord, what do we need tonight? And I have this, never, never forget. Do you believe in God's resurrection power? Is my title of my speaking. We just saw God's resurrection power come in here as the Holy Spirit came in and ministered healing to some people that are wounded and hurt. And you all learn something. You all learn something. So we never need to forever forget the blood and the power in the name of Jesus, who has defeated Satan and broke Satan's power at the cross and allows us to walk in freedom and not be in bondage. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that you orchestrated and you're the teacher and you had a plan and a purpose that we did not know what you were going to do. But I give you all the praise and the glory for all the tears that have been shed, because there, I believe, are going, many of them have been going to get healing from their tears, because they're letting you have their pain, their sorrow, their rejection, the abandonment that we all have felt. And I pray that you will all lay it at the altar and say, Lord, I give it all to you. Heal my wounded heart. Lord, I ask that you will touch me, change me, mold me to be the husband or wife I need to be. And I pray you will go touch my spouse. And if I was the one that left and was the one that caused the problems, Lord, change me, and may you touch them, and may they forgive me. And Lord, if you've been the ones that's been abused or wounded or hurt, may you ask and you pray for your husband or wife, and may you never give up on praying for them. The Holy Spirit is going to send have them to have a Damascus, personal Damascus Road experience, their own way. As we said, an encounter with the living God, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you can do it all. And we're praying that you will go up and down every row, and you will do it quickly and suddenly. The quicker, the better. Lord, we pray that you will block and stop all these long stands and bring a lot of these husbands and wives who have been disobedient and been holding grudges and all, and would you just have them come back home quickly? The ones who have gotten in non-covenant marriages and don't know how to get out of it, I show you, pray you will show them the way of escape now, quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that what you're going to do in all of these people's lives, the ones that have listened to this, who will be listening to it for the next 4 weeks, we pray you will touch them right there where they're listening, and that they will make where they're sitting, get on their knees, and may they bow down to you, and may they make things right with you tonight as they listen to this. Oh, Lord, you may have a mini revival with just this session that we've had because of your presence. And we just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do. And, Lord, I pray that we will have many, many marriages restored quickly and suddenly, because we're going to pray in agreement that husbands and wives are going to forgive and forget, and we're going to go forward and not go backwards, listing them. And when we have a fight, Lord, we can't go back and say, you did this. We're going to give it to the Lord, and it's erased and gone to the sea of forgetfulness. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.